You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
So I got some great news over the weekend. It's pretty amazing. I was thinking about Peter, you know, and when he preached. I bet you a lot of people said the same things about Peter that they're saying about Kanye West. Kanye West had a service. I forgot where it was. He normally is out in California, but he's been traveling around the country. And like 1,000 people went to the altar call. Well, Peter had 3,000 people came and said, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow the man from Nazareth. Okay. And I was thinking, that's amazing. It's awesome. A lot of people talking, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people were murmuring and talking when Peter did it as well, too. But Kanye West isn't the only one that's bringing people to Christ. There's an army chaplain I want to lift up right now, Jose Rondon. He believes, and I quote, there is nothing more exhilarating in life than seeing people come to Christ. And that is exactly why God blessed him, Army Chaplain Jose Rondon. In the last 6 months, he has experienced that exhilaration with more than 1,400 professions of faith, something one could describe as a spiritual awakening. He is the chaplain at Fort Leonard Wood. That is his place of ministry. You better believe it is, because of his reputation for being intentional in his ministry, many have come to hear him share the gospel on Sundays. So maybe a person or two gets all the news, but boy, God is working. I just wanted you to be encouraged by that today. I certainly was.
Cup of Joe Morning Show.
In the coffee of life, we're your sweet.
The Sound of Life.
Kanye West is not the only celebrity that's been talking about Jesus a lot lately. Selena Gomez has. Of course, Justin Bieber has for a while. He hasn't put out any new music in a couple of years. And he got married in a civil ceremony. Then they had another ceremony just to, you know, I don't know. It's just, Blake Shelton, country star. There have been others as well, too. He got the most publicity, I think, because, and if you think about it, he was kind of like a Saul going to the Apostle Paul. I mean, kind of. And he admits it. He said, when I was here, you heard me talk about how music was my life, money was my life, women were my life, whatever it was how they what they were doing to my life, changing my life. And now it's going to be all about Jesus changing my life. And his album certainly is Jesus is King, certainly is right on the money. And some people have come alongside of him, celebrities that are already there, saying, I just want to tell you, people are going to be watching you, as if he didn't know that already, you know, to mess up. That's kind of the way it is. It's been that way since day one, really. I don't know him personally, but I feel like I do. Back in the day, there was an NBA player. Came out of Seattle, played for the Los Angeles Lakers. He was single. He was a Christian. And he just did not play around like everybody else did. And they really were wanting him to kind of fall. Taking bets on when he would. Isn't that terrible? That's terrible. Trying to set him up, you know. That's what you can look forward to. That's the kind of thing you kind of look forward to. Somebody like Kanye West probably like, I've been used to that my whole life. I can handle that. I kind of like what Greg Laurie did, pastor out West. He knows, and he does this for every new believer. And he said, here's four things that you really need to do. Number one, and this applies to all of us. Number one, read your Bible every day. Number two, pray. The Apostle Paul said pray without ceasing. Just kind of continuously be thanking God, remembering people, praying for them. You need a home church. Very important. He said, I know you have a church service. You have Sunday service. You have your church. But everybody needs, and we like to use the term covering. You know, you need to be in a group to hold you accountable. That's the biggest thing. That's what he's saying right there. You need other men to hold you accountable. They need to ask you questions, and you need to answer them. And they need to tell you, you know, you're off, you're going to get off track, you're getting off track, whatever. That's a big deal right there. And then, of course, the fourth thing is sharing your faith. Well, 1,000 people came to Christ, I guess, when he shared recently, so I think he's doing that. Okay, but I just thought that's something for every one of us.
Hey, this is Drew from We Are Messengers, and thank you for listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Everybody talking about Kanye West coming to Jesus, make a profession of Jesus. When he came out, what really did it was when he came out with the album last weekend, I believe it was, called Jesus is King. And I have to admit, as somebody pointed out, watching people interview him, and I said, they said, I have no idea where they are spiritually, but they just said Jesus is King about five times in naming the album. It's pretty cool. And he probably is more prepared to get the onslaught of making a profession in Jesus as a celebrity than certain people have been. I mean, he made a fortune off of vulgar music and other things associated with his lifestyle, and he absolutely has come out and admitted, this is what you've heard from me. Well, this is what you're hearing from me now. There was a guy who I actually saw in concert at the Charlotte Coliseum back in the mid-70s, who had a mixed crowd then. And by that, I mean, I was a college student, and there were people in there that had gray hair, like I have now, or no hair, like I have now. And we were like, wow, what a really mixed audience it is. Really cool and all that, you know. I didn't know it for the longest time. I did not know that there was a point in his life in the 70s, late 70s, I believe, he made a profession of faith. In fact, in these concerts, a lot of times he would preach, and you could hear people in the crowd, you know, saying certain things back, kind of not necessarily amens, but he did. And I did not know this until I read an article in the mid 90s about how worship leaders were picking up on his music. Third Day had done a song of his, and I thought, worship leaders are picking up on Bob Dylan's music? And I started checking into it, and sure enough, it is some of the most powerful words written to Jesus or about the Messiah that I had ever seen. But as a person who was raised Jewish, who was in the culture, the very hip culture that he was in at the time, and coming out like he did, he was just ripped apart by just about everybody, including the Christians. How could this guy be? This guy is a Christian, you know. And so it's not something that's all that unusual to me. But I have run into a few people who were kind of like saying, yes, he has a very strong, he just shut down. He just quit talking about his spirituality. And a lot of times he just shut down, period. And it's been very interesting. Anyway. I just thought I'd throw it out there because if you look at the lyrics of the song, which I was actually trying to find online, which I thought was going to be impossible to do, but it's amazing. Always in the name of Jesus, Christ, Son of God, manifest in the flesh. He concluded with a letter of a bold profession of faith. So he may not be talking about it. Some people had other ideas, but, you know, he was just, and he was getting a lot of, I mean, back in the 60s, they were really hounding him just because he was so popular and it was kind of a new thing, you know, to be all over television and radio and stuff was that much new. But anyway, that's why I just thought that was pretty amazing about that. Just thought I'd mention that to you, and didn't really have anywhere to go with it. Except that he certainly isn't the only one, you know, and I think about him, Kanye West, I mean, preaching to a lot of people or anybody really and thinking about their past. And I think about Peter preaching and 3,000 people saying, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Yes. You know, and I don't know if they had what they call an altar call or however it happened, maybe one at a time or in groups or whatever. But I'm sure there was a lot of murmuring going on then, too.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
Well, let me just go on the record as saying that I'm all for getting some of the diapers out of the landfill. Especially, I just saw this recent figures on how many fill up the landfill. And I guess a lot of the material in them is toxic and stuff like that. And most of the time, you know, as a parent, you just want it to work. And I mean, you know, when you find one that works, like out at the diner, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. So it's like, yes, we're going with this one right here, you know, but they've been working on different materials, and I guess there's some interesting properties in seaweed that they've been discovered. And this was kind of a challenge. And the people are going to get a James Dyson Award for their efforts in a reusable diaper. It's been shortlisted as one of 20 international finalists. Oh, okay, so they didn't get the award yet. They're one of the finalists for the James Dyson Award. They're called Sumo Diapers. You just got to laugh when you say it. They're made out of a recyclable material called C-Cell, which is an antibacterial, absorbent, and biodegradable textile that is made out of seaweed and eucalyptus. Somebody has been doing a lot of research on that. It is not only is the material rich in antioxidants that are good for the skin, but the diaper components can also be sustainably harvested and recycled. All right? So the idea is to recycle them. Now, in the article on the Good News Network that I was looking at, when I first looked at that diaper, I thought, well, I don't know if that's just to put on the child as a... Is that the way it's supposed to look? Because I'm going to tell you something. There's not a mom within 100 miles of me that's going to look at that and go, I don't know if that's real secure or not. You know, I don't know. Maybe it is. But, you know, I like those leggings to be elastic and tight. My wife would be rolling her eyes right now. Oh, really? Yeah. How many diaper messes did you get into? It's very interesting and exciting, and of course the idea is to keep as much as we can out of the landfills and reuse them and things like that, and it's supposed to be really good for the little tender skin there and stuff, which is great, which I'm all for it. As long as nobody comes out and says they've also created something out of seaweed that they expect me to eat.
Well, there's no coming back from that.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the sound of life.
You probably heard me talk about, but in case you didn't, Pastor Dr. Tony Evans, I don't know which one comes first, is asking for people of faith to pray for a supernatural intervention as his wife battles to defeat cancer, despite chemotherapy no longer being an option. And I honestly did not know, I had not heard anything. This is the first I've heard about her battling cancer. I don't know if you know this, but Pastor Tony Evans is the chief pastor there at the Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, been there for a ton of years, senior pastor, I should say. So he wrote a letter to his ministry friends and partners concerning his wife's medical condition, and he said Lois spent all of last week in the hospital due to severe pain related to her cancer. The doctors were able to manage the pain, but they released her from the hospital for home care. All right, so posted a video showing prayer warriors outside the family's home praying for 24 hours on rotation, believing for a miracle for Lois. They are clinging to the promises of God more than ever because medical remedies are no longer responding. He said, our prayers are full of faith, hope, and expectancy. It's a good thing to pray. God rejoices, and there's rejoicing in heaven when people come together to pray. And I know I had a pastor one time that was getting pretty excited about the fact that we were coming together to pray as a region. This was down south one time because there had been a drought, not all that unusual for the end of summer, and it was affecting thousands and thousands of acres of people's crop, and the people are coming together to pray, you know. And so when it gets urgent, people don't care whether they're on the steps of the courthouse, or people kind of forget about the trappings that they're in, what is the right protocol and things like that. They're just crying out to God, you know, and that's really wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. And this pastor was trying to relate that to us. And he got real excited and he said, if lack of rain causes us to come together to pray, I hope it never rains. And he said it really loud and he scared me. He really did. I thought, wow. But it's interesting perspective, isn't it?
The sound of life.
Working in a nursing home. Not me, but the writer of the man in the white t-shirt said, I was across the street from a major Muslim center in Chicago. One of my residents came from that center. He had been one of the custodians. He was in his 50s, an African-American gentleman with stage 4 cancer. My heart was to reach out to him for Christ. He would mention Jesus, or Isa, I guess they say in Arabic, but only as a prophet, not a savior. He was declining fast, and his mental status wavered. He knew I prayed for him. That's very important. He knew I prayed for him, and the people from the Muslim Center stopped visiting him as he got weaker and could no longer speak. Each day when I did my routine care for him, I would speak to him about Jesus. Even though he could no longer verbally respond, we were taught long ago in nursing school to continue to speak to a patient, even if non-responsive, because hearing was the last sense to go. The day came, he was going downhill quickly, time was limited. In God's loving compassion, Jesus allowed me to care for this man one more time. I spoke to him one more time about Jesus, and I prayed for him, and also prayed a prayer that he could pray with me to Jesus. In my heart, I humbly asked Jesus that if it was his will, let me know and have assurance that this precious man came to him. Not sure how Jesus would do it, of course. As soon as the prayers were done, the man raised one arm straight up towards heaven. He was overjoyed and numb at the same time. He had spinal cancer that completely paralyzed him, and he had not been able to move at all. He then slipped into eternity. And that's part of the story about the man in the white t-shirt.
Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and you're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
One day, kids, you'll be so happy to get socks. You know, right now, as a gift, that is the worst, isn't it? You pick up that soft, squishy little package wrapped in that wonderful paper, and it's just like the worst. You're just like, oh, man, how can I not show my disappointment? But one of these days, you'll be at that age where it'll be pure, unadulterated joy. New socks. Yes, that is called adulting. You will be at that age where you appreciate taking a nap. I know right now it's like that's a punishment, you know. But one day that will be like a mini vacation. And speaking of vacations, one day you will wonder why your parents never really wanted to go on a vacation. You see, when you're a parent, a vacation is any day that they don't have to set an alarm clock. It's like, yes, it's amazing, right? One day something will change, and every time you bend down to pick up something on the floor or reach for something or get up out of a chair, you will involuntarily grunt. You will emit a sound, and you will like, why did I do that? I don't know. It's just something that comes with adulting. I'm just trying to prepare you to get you ready, because it's something that maybe mom and dad didn't sit down and tell you that, right? I realize eating lunch nowadays alone is like, I don't want to be alone. You would do anything not to eat anything, anything. It's the end of time. You can't do that. One day, believe it or not, that will be completely flipped. It will be such a treat to be able to have time to yourself. Like the one woman that tweeted, it's one of the funniest things I ever saw. She said, I used to see a woman with wet hair and think, how could you not do that? You know, how could you not dry your hair? What is up with that? And now as a parent, I see a woman with wet hair and think, oh, I'm so envious. You had time in the shower. You had time for a shower. See, things change. Your perspective changes. Pretty amazing kind of things, right? Yeah. Realizing that you have food at home. That's all right. You know, one day, well, let's say you're 15 now. Okay. I got you before you get on the bus. You wonder, I guarantee you wonder, why in the world does mom watch HGTV? All day long, it seems. What is up with that? One day, when you're 23, you will suddenly catch yourself looking at that granite countertop and going, man, they make that kitchen pop.
No kidding.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Love your radio station. I listen to it every morning. It wakes me up. It inspires me. It gets me going.
The Sound of Life.
Let's think about your blood for a minute. You don't have to take a look at it because, you know, we all know that, well, a lot of people don't like to see blood, especially their own. And that's, you know, because that means something's wrong. Something went wrong. Okay, there we go. But, you know, the thing that's amazing is blood is one of the most amazing things God ever created. First of all, you know that it's made up of red and white blood cells, but it floats in a liquid called plasma. And you've probably heard of red and white blood cells and plasma and all that. The red blood cells are kind of a delivery system. They carry oxygen and other nutrients to all the cells in your body, and then they carry away all the waste, like carbon dioxide. Isn't that amazing? Blood is pumped through your body by the heart, of course. Your heart is one strong muscle, and it's fast, and it can pump blood to every cell in your body in less than a minute. It's pretty amazing, yeah. Blood travels through tubes called blood vessels. I realize for many of you, it's probably, you know, elementary, rudimentary, but just thinking about that. The vessels carry the blood. Vessels that carry blood away from your heart are called arteries. So they have two different jobs. While the one that carries it back to your heart are called veins.
Wow.
So moving right along. The white blood cells are the warrior cells. They work together with your immune system to fight off germs and diseases, which is pretty phenomenal there too. Blood is pretty powerful and important stuff. The blood of Jesus is even more powerful because he is the Son of God, lived a perfect life, never sinned, not even one time. His blood can carry your sins away and give you the forgiveness you need to live forever with God. He's got a place prepared for you. Those of you, and that's what we mean when we say, well, I'm in the blood. I'm in the blood of Jesus. Because we have believed and we obey him. Right? Because when you believe, then you want to obey him. Right? When Jesus gave his life for you, and he would have done it if you were the only one, it was both terrible and beautiful. Terrible for the way Jesus was hurt, beautiful for the gift of love and forgiveness and heaven that he gave to you and me. Gave us heaven through his blood. It's hard to think about Jesus' death on the cross, Lord, and I'm so sorry for all that he suffered, but I'm so grateful for his blood that washes away my sins. Check out 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we're living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other and the blood of Jesus, his son. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Platelets are important, too. You know, when you get a cut or a scrape, platelets spring into action. How do they know that there's like a hole in your body at the end of your finger or something? And they're going around your body. But they stick together to stop that flow of blood. It's called clotting. Blood, and that's why you don't bleed out, you know, if unless there's something wrong with your blood. And some people have that. They keep blood inside your body. And they keep the germs out. It's pretty cool. What I was just doing is actually a devotional put together by Louis Giglio, and it's called How Great Is Our God. It's pretty cool.
The Sound of Life.
I got a song story for you that I don't think has gotten out that much, but we have a company in Colorado that is now part of a huge radio company, because, you know, that's just kind of the way it's happening right there. And they have a commercial side, and then they have a side that deals with non-commercial radio, Christian radio. Not all non-commercial radio is Christian radio, but it's less. They have a lot of our stations, and they have some people that deal with that. But, you know, I mean, the inside of commercial radio, it's interesting. It's pretty much money-driven. You know, they'll pretty much, if you've got the money, they don't care what the ad sounds like. They'll pretty much pop it on there for the money. I mean, that's pretty much what rules everything. And I was given advice years ago, don't do it because of the money. Right. Don't let that be your deciding guide. I digress some. So this big company, they handle a big piece of software that we use. And so when you have a technical problem, you call them. You probably have people like that. And I did, and I had talked to a man out there, young man named Franklin. And we got to be friends. A really nice guy, and he's easy to work with because, you know, guy like me calling a tech person, an IT tech person, I get very nervous. I get sweaty, you know, and it's like, I'd rather go play in traffic. I just, because he'd throw out turn, just afraid that, you know, they're going to try to mention something, and I'm going to come across looking like an idiot. Which I pretty much am when it comes to computers. You know, I mean, I'm of that age. I didn't grow up, you know, IMing my friends and everything like kids do. But he is very nice and gracious. Well, one day I had put in a call to him. They're out in Denver, as I said, so a couple hours difference. And he called me back, and I put him on hold. And I went into the studio, and I picked up the phone. He goes, oh, I was writing down the lyrics to that song that was playing. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted. He said, that's okay. That's all right. It's all right. Turns out the song was Redeemed by Big Daddy Weave. I ended up sending him an MP3 of that, which is against federal regulation. So if you don't tell anybody, I probably won't get in trouble. So I'm hoping to stay under the radar on that, but it meant a lot to him. And I hadn't followed up that much because now he's working on kind of a new thing. And so Steve is our guy that we talk to a lot and stuff. So maybe Steve will have his favorite lyrics.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Who told you I was clever?
Oh, all your friends at the studio told me.
Oh, drat.
The Sound of Life.
So yesterday I was taking advantage of the weather and I was going to go and do some grocery shopping. And a lot of times I'll go to the store and then I'll come out and put the groceries in the car and stuff. And I'll run back in the dollar store, which is right beside there, because I want to get something that you get at the dollar store. You know, it seems like there's something I got to go. It's a dangerous place. Anyway, but that's another story. So I get to the store and it's pretty busy, you know, a lot of specials on Wednesday, a lot of people early afternoon shopping when I'm out there and stuff. So, I go in and the first thing that was different was I decided, because usually I got a place, I just go to a place in the parking lot normally and I didn't this time. It was like completely different. So that was, it's kind of strange. And I got out and I thought, well, you know what? I got ready to go into the grocery store and I thought, let me go in the dollar store first, because I was really dying of thirst. That's the way to, that's just an expression, but I was really, really thirsty, and I was kind of uncomfortable thirsty. So I thought, I'll go in there and I'll get a bottle of tea, and then I'll get a couple little picture frames, and I'll get a box of dog treats. That's basically what I was going to get. And if I got out of there with just that, it was going to be really great. So I get it and I had to ask the manager, talk to the manager a little bit because I thought, man, you know, your store looks really nice and all that. Talked a little bit about that. So I'm standing there behind a woman who's paying first and I reach in my pocket for my wallet and I ain't got no wallet. And I was like, I'm thinking real quick. Okay. I left it in the car. No, that's not my jacket. It's not. And then I thought that's what I felt funny early in the morning. When I was making breakfast, I grabbed my lip balm. That's a official branded Sound of Life lip balm. Really great stuff. A couple of things, and I did not grab my wallet. But it was funny because I knew there was something kind of weird in the back of my mind. Unfortunately, it didn't make its way to the front of my mind. So I, oh, my wallet! I got to grab my wallet. Today I did do that. But see how thankful I was, because I thought, whoa. If I had done what I always do before and going to the grocery store, and if I had been standing in line with a cart full of groceries, picture this. And then I reach down and the cashier is going, you know, that'll be, and I'm going, Lord, can the rapture happen now? Can you take me now? I don't really care how. Isn't that something? And so it felt very, very, it'll take me a while to forget about that. I may never forget about that. That was really pretty cool. And that's what I see. I said, God, you really protected me on that for some reason. Now, a lot of people will again go, well, you always have you're always thirsty. You're always looking for something. I have never gone in the dollar store first. I have never gotten something to drink. I usually take it from the radio station with me, a bottle of water or something. Never done that. So a couple of things that I hadn't, you know, were unusual that got me into that situation. So I hope you see that today as you go through today and every day. See God's hand.
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
Well, one of the things that impresses me about some paintings of the Renaissance, and I actually saw a Rembrandt at the North Carolina Museum years ago. I saw a photograph recently. That thing must travel around. I'm telling you, it was the painting. It's not the subject matter of the painting. It's just the, and when you look at it, it's huge. It's a massive, I mean, it's probably 5 by 9 feet. Or so. I mean, it's huge. So if you're standing up close to it, you can see the oils standing out from the painting. It's incredible. And then you have to get like a room away for it to make any sense. You know, it was just very impressive. Well, there's a Renaissance painting by one of the best Renaissance artists ever. His name is Raphael. The last painting by Raphael, he died in 1520, was likely the Transfiguration. It's 15 feet by 9 feet. That's the dimensions on this painting. It was described by a historian as, quote, the most famous, the most beautiful, and most divine. It was inspired by the events described in the Bible in Luke in chapter 9. The top portion portrays Jesus appearing in glory between Moses and Elijah, while three disciples, Peter, John, and James, shield their eyes from the radiance. In contrast, the bottom of the painting depicts the scene described in the very next portion of Luke 9, the apostles attempting unsuccessfully to cast out an evil spirit from a boy. And it's an interesting thing because the detail often inspire people who see it to open their Bibles to read for themselves the source of Raphael's inspiration. And that ain't nothing wrong with that, is there?
The Sound of Life.
Brittany's is the mom, and Miles is the son, and Miles came at 8 p.m., of course. That's actually kind of early for some kids. The night before, a big day tomorrow in school, twin day tomorrow in school. And I've got to have a shirt to match my twin. She said it took me an hour to get a hold of the mother. You know, so, all right, I'm putting them to bed, and I run out. She tweeted, or she posted it on social media somewhere, Instagram, Facebook, or whatever it was. And Brittany said this. Last night, Miles went on and on about he had to be twins with a boy in his class for twin day because they look exactly the same. Same eyes. Same hair. He is adamant that they are identical. So after the kids went to bed, I headed to Walmart 9 p.m. to get matching outfits. The only thing they had in his size that was left over after I went through all of it, I got. Actually, she did pretty well. I mean, when you're at the, when you are right at the end of you're just like praying, please God, let there be something. And she did pretty well. She did. She was so interested in what they looked like together. She said, teacher, can you please take a photograph of them, Miles and his twin, together so that I can see that? And the teacher sent her the picture. She said, today, which she posted, which I will post for you, of course, on the Cup of Joe morning show. She said, I just had tears in my eyes. My heart just melted. Obviously, the two children, as we see them, are different, very different. But Miles didn't see that. Wouldn't the world be such a better place if we could not see certain things and see the world like a five-year-old sees the world?
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.